Hello and welcome. You're listening to Coming Back to Life, the podcast that opens you up to growth and healing that will help you live the life that you desire and deserve the most while loving yourself in the process. I'm your host, Debbie O'Keefe. It's such an honor and a privilege to be here with you today, and I want to thank you for sharing the gifts of your energy and your time with me for this experience. Hello, everyone. Debbie O'Keefe here, and I could not be more excited to be here with you today. I am so excited to be sharing with you that we are moving from a solo podcast to a guest podcast. That's right. Each and every episode is going to be bringing on a different guest who is going to be sharing some of the most incredibly inspiring, amazing, life-transformative stories with you about how it is that they came to overcome some of the greatest obstacles in their lives, recognize the power within themselves to create the changes that they needed, and to literally come back to life. And I thought that there was no better way to kick off this experience than to share an episode that has been asked for more times than I can count. And that is basically the interview of myself. It is my story of transformation. So many of you have been asking, so how did you come into this place? Tell me more about yourself. I was privileged to attend an incredible healing festival in my local area, and that was one of the most pertinent questions that was coming out. And I said, wow, you know, people really need to know where I've come from. And I really want this podcast to be about opening up and bringing you in on the deeper levels of people's journeys. Because so often we hear and see these inspiring stories of how people have risen to these incredible heights, but we lack the background information of remembering where it is that they came from. And sometimes that makes our own journeys very difficult because all we see is the end sight. And this is really a door opening to get you into the world and the journey of how it began with so many of these people, including myself, and the steps that were taken, the actual journey. We're talking about the hard parts, the pain, the suffering, the real self-truths, the things that were, you know, the most difficult, that not every success is all about, you know, the fame, the fortune, the accolades, and what it is that comes at the end, and really understanding that we are capable of learning and growing from what we believe are the most detrimental, life-threatening experiences that we could possibly have, and how this is possible for everyone. So what I am going to be bringing to you here in this episode is a brief background of some of my experiences and what led me on the path of transformation. But most importantly, I'm going to be sharing with you the five main things that as I look across this journey, I recognized were missing within myself and my life. How those things impacted me and brought me to where I was and to the experiences and the circumstances and situations that I found myself in. And most importantly, what it was that I did to become aware and pull myself out of those things, and how doing those things allowed me to open up for significant and life-changing transformations and shifts in my life that are now putting me in a place of actually living the life that I can wake up, I can love, It feels easier. It's smoother. It flows. It's peaceful. My health is better. My relationships are thriving. My career is effortlessly, you know, taking shape in the way, in the time that's perfect for me. And touching on a lot of those experiences that are going to really resonate with you. So as you listen to this episode, I'd like you to make note of those things that really strike hold for you and come through and share, you know, those moments, those times that it's like, man, you really hit to this point and I have that experience and thank you for sharing this because I want to know what it is that you need. I want to know how it is that I and these people that I am connecting with, which I have to tell you has been incredible. It's literally tens of dozens of people coming in by the hour. We have Emmy Award winners. We have published authors. We have seven-figure CEOs. We have some of the most transformative, incredible Olympic athletes. I cannot believe what has come through on people who want to share their incredible stories. So you are not going to want to miss this episode and the episodes to come. But write in, give us your responses, and let us know what it is that you think about all these changes. So without further ado, let's go ahead. We're going to dive right in to a bit of my journey and experience. And I have to say that looking back, there were signs my whole life that there were those shoulder taps and things indicating to me of a direction where I needed to move, changes that I needed to make, things that I was doing, things I was resisting, things I was not embracing. And I'm really going to fast forward through, you know, some of the longer parts of this. But my indicators were that I was living my life in a way that many of us do. And I got myself in a self-imposed position. And I want you to make note of how it is that I'm saying that because it's going to be very pertinent throughout the rest of this episode. A very self-imposed position of what I believed I needed to be. Ways I needed to act. Things I needed people to see. And I lived this way in a constant position of hypervigilance because at birth, I was very hyper attuned to the energies of other people. I was very switched on and aware of those things that were happening around me. And somewhere along the line, subconsciously, I developed this belief that if I could just become constantly malleable and highly adaptable, that I could just become and morph like some kind of superhero into whatever it was that I needed to be to maintain the environment that I was in. If I could just keep the energy level, if I could keep people from being angry, if I could lift people's spirits, if I could save people from an undesired experience that was going to cause them, you know, grief and pain and suffering, if I could prove myself to be, you know, everything that everybody wanted in a friend, and a daughter and a sister and a colleague and a teacher and a parent, if I could just be and be and be, then everything could be exactly the way it needed to be so that I and everyone else could just feel great, feel safe in our experiences. And that's how I went. And the other part of this is outside of maintaining that environment. The greatest thing was I had a very outward focus on who I was, what I was about, and what it was that designated my worth, my significance in my own life and in the world itself. And this is something I know many of you will identify with because we come into life and we're raised and we grow up, and somewhere down the line, society and culture dictates to us that everything is about who you are by way of what you do, not who you are intrinsically, but who you are by way of the roles that you play. And there's certain expectations. It's like you're going to grow up, you're going to get married, you're going to become a wife or a husband or a mother or a father, you're going to have a career, you're going to be a worker, you're going to do this, you're going to do that. And that's who you are, right? And I myself was no exception to this. And I started to identify myself by whatever stage of life or experience or role it was that I was playing at that time. So if I was a kid, I had to be the best kid that I could be, following the rules, you know, being agreeable and pleasing, you know, making myself lovable at all times, trying not to make, you know, anything that would make me want to be undesired around anybody, whether that be my friends, my family, in school, or anything like that. When I was Debbie the student, I had to be the perfect student. I had to be teacher's pet. I had to be the perfectionist. I had to be the, you know, the valedictorian. I had to be all these things that would make me the most desired of that role and experience. I had to be the best girlfriend, giving always more in the relationship than I was ever receiving back, because if I didn't, well, they wouldn't see me, or God forbid would see me, for just who I was, and that was clearly not enough. So I had to keep making sure that I was putting in my dues and proving, justifying why someone would want to possibly be with me. The same in my friendships. As a teacher, I did the same thing. I would stop at nothing to make sure that I was taking on all of the responsibilities and the roles and the positions and proving and proving and proving. And every motion and every move, I was moving to prove all the time. Every aspect of my life was directed to prove why anybody would want me, why I deserve to share space with people. And there were a number of indicators to me throughout my life by way of, you know, experiences that I had, really undesirable, you know, behaviors that I started to engage in that were just very out of character for me. Most significantly would be that of the symptoms that started to transpire. We're talking in terms of physical symptoms. I would get muscle aches. I would get pains, shortness of breath, chest pains, even developing late in life mitral valve prolapse, things within my heart, respiratory conditions, major digestive issues. And these things continued to build along with paralyzing anxiety and depression that literally took me out. I was existing, I was going through the motions, I was moving, but it was very robotic. Those who knew me best definitely noticed it. And I came into an incredible place when I met my now husband, and people had noticed the vibrancy and literally would say, "We are so grateful for you because we have our girl back." And, you know, there's such a light in you, and people would comment on how happy I was. And what that part of my life definitely did was light the pilot light back within me to inspire a reconnection. And I had thought that was bringing me back. But what that was doing at the time was just bringing me back to my old way, the fire in me that made me the excited performer, basically, was it made it easier for me to fake it, to, you know, wear that facade of the chick who had it all. You know, I had it all together. I now had this amazing guy. I had a great career. You know, I was on my way, and I had everybody fooled, most especially myself. And there's the expression, you know, you can lie to everybody, but you can't lie to yourself. And I cannot tell you how true that is, because at this time of my life where I thought it was the best, that's where things started to really fall apart. And I know that what was most painful to the people who were closest to me, most especially my husband, even before we were married, was not understanding how, you know, and I really want to speak on this because this is something where so many people, if you know someone who is experiencing anxiety or depression or more severe, both, this idea of how could you possibly be depressed, right? You have this amazing life. Look at this guy who loves you. You have a great career. You're financially stable. You got a good car. You got a beautiful home. You got everything. What could you possibly have to be upset about? Look at how much you have. You should be grateful. Look at how many people have less than what you have. And believe me, deep down, people with anxiety and depression, they know this. But that awareness and that reminder, the outside reminder of those things, only further perpetuates the depression, and even worse, creates a real sense of, you know, what the fuck is wrong with me? Because when we hear that, that's what we hear. What is wrong with you? And that, at its deepest level, is really what it all comes down to. And I did not know this at the time, but everything that was driving this, every action that I was taking, every decision I was making, every desperate attempt that I was making to fill my life with justifiable reasons to be happy on the surface, coming in the forms of awards from school, ratings as an educator, you know, stuff that I had in my life by way of possessions, constantly needing validation and compliments and outside recognition from other people, was because at my very core, I inherently believed that there was something deeply wrong with me. I felt defective. I felt an incredible sense of shame. I was incredibly self-loathing. I could not bear to pass a window and get a glance of myself without wanting to literally hide from wherever I was in public. I wanted to unzip my skin, crawl out of my own body, and just disappear. And it took me a long time to realize this, but I could never put myself in a place of acceptance or belonging or anything with anybody. And there was truly nothing that anybody could do, say, reassure me of. There was no compliment that could be given. If anything, compliments made me more uncomfortable. I would actually like shield and curl in. I had a dear friend that was like, why every time I say something nice to you, you look like you're gonna cry? And it was true. Like, you would think I needed more of that. Actually, that would make me feel more like, oh God, why are you saying something nice to me? Don't you have somebody better that you could be complimenting? Because don't waste that beautiful compliment on me, because I am just not worthy. And it was so mind-boggling and frustrating to those who saw something of myself that I just did not see. I didn't get it. To date, I'm with my husband 15 years, and only within this year have I stopped asking, I don't understand why. Why? There was a point in my life where I was literally walking around as an apology to people. And even just my mere presence to them, I just wanted to be like, I'm so sorry. I am so sorry that in this moment and right now in this time, I'm causing such discomfort and displeasure in you by being in your space. And it took a realization of where it was that that was part of where that was coming from. And I'm going to share a bit about that now, but we're going to go into deeper detail in the later part of this episode. What I didn't understand at the time was that in being intuitive and being empathic and picking up on the energies of other people, it is very common for highly sensitive and empathic people to come into a codependent and enmeshed position of responsibility where it's believed, well, I'm picking up on an energy that you're unhappy right now. So you must be unhappy with me. Or I'm sensing anger in you right now. I must have done something wrong that has made you angry. So I'm sorry. What do I need to do to rectify this, to make this better for you? You know, you're unhappy right now. I must be making you unhappy. And it's this conclusion or this energetic absorption that I'm responsible for this because I'm here in your space. So somehow I must have caused this. Or somehow you are feeling this in spite of anything that I might be doing or not doing at this point. So I need to check all the boxes to do everything I can to right whatever wrong it is and role that I am playing in this experience for you. In addition to that, there are the outside experiences of what you have in your life. And my life was no exception to that. It would be in terms of, you know, bullying at school and, you know, those peers around me who, you know, made jokes or would, you know, say things about my physical experience or my, you know, my physical presence or, you know, comments literally like, ew, go away, you know, literally sending out the message, you are undesired. You are not wanted here. In addition to that, you know, those experiences in terms of, you know, if there was fighting around me or anger or violence of any kind, there was this part of me that would always go into an introspective position of how in any way am I responsible for this? And what is it that I can do or be to make this stop, to make this easier for these people, to, you know, okay, maybe their anger is about this, but what can I do? And whatever it was that I could do, up to and including in those relationships that I got myself into that, you know, I found myself prior to, you know, the incredible person I'm with right now, my husband, Peter, you know, there was a wave of relationships that were incredibly abusive. And deep down, I know now that part of it was recognizing that was what I believed I deserved. I also only felt significant and wanted and valuable. I would latch on to very complicated people with complicated situations with the desire to fix, to save, to rescue. And to rebuild brokenness of any kind. And what that did instead was changed me, broke me down. And I realized that at one point, the abuse that I received, and I really want to speak to anyone who I extend the deepest compassion and empathy for you, and I truly speak to the heart of you. If you are or ever have been at the hands of abuse in any relationship, recognizing the direct connection with your own self-worth and what it is that you believe you are deserving of. And many times the punishment and the mistreatment that we receive from any kind of outside person, this can be anyone in any relationship. We are not just talking about spouses and significant others. This can be in a friendship. This can be in a place of employment. This can be from a child, a parent, a sibling, a spouse. This can be in any form of a very close friend. Any form of relationship where you open yourself up to a level of treatment or mistreatment that deep down you believe you deserve. And I cannot express to you what that realization, whether it be in hindsight, something inside of me knew enough to get out. And I am forever grateful that I did. And to embrace that level of respect and genuine love that I now know that I am worthy and deserving of, but did not realize at the time. And this all boiled down to what it was that I believed and I knew about myself. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to take a short break right now. And when we come back, I'm going to highlight step by step the very five things that I came to recognize were necessary and missing from my life, what it was that was connected in those things, how I turned it around, and the changes that came about in my life through this understanding and through these shifts. So stay with me, and we will be right back. Hey, everybody, Debbie O'Keefe here, and I hope you've been enjoying the episode so far. I'm here to share with you two new, incredibly exciting opportunities to work, learn, and grow alongside me, and to take the next step in your journey and to go even deeper. You can learn more on my website, deborahokeefe.com. The first is the Coming Back to Life membership, where every week you will receive a unique intuitive download based on experiences in my own life and in the workings of others that reveal the guidance, the messages, and the insights that will take you along the way to make the changes and take action in your life to live as your best self. The second opportunity is the Rising Together Women's Community. This is a unique sisterhood, a tribe of belonging, where we all come together to create the support, the sense of belonging, and the endless uplifting inspiration that you need to maintain committed and to stay on track to make the changes and take action to live the life that you are meant for as everything you were created to be. Each of these opportunities are being made available on a sliding scale where you can pay at the level that is comfortable and right and best for you. No matter which level of contribution you choose, you will receive the same benefits, because I never want anything to stand in the way of your desire to help yourself and live your best life. If you'd like to learn more, you can check me out at deborahokeefe.com or message me at info@deborahokeefe.com. I look forward to being with you real soon and taking the next step in our journey together. Hey, we're back. So before the break, we were talking about my journey of coming back to life. And as promised, for the second half, we're going to be talking about the five things that I realized I was missing and so greatly needed to really live, to truly live a fully satisfying, happy, joyful, meaningful, purposeful life that you actually wake up and want to live, that you look back every day and you go, today was good, man. It was another one of this awesome life that I get to live. And it's unique. It's unique to me. I like it. I love it. I want some more of it. And before I go into these five things, what is so important about that is when I talk about coming back to life, we're not just talking about near-death experiences and chronic illness, which I will share, you know, many of the stories and guests that we have coming are going to share those experiences. But it's not just about that. We're also talking about those people who are existing in life, but they are numbing themselves through addiction, which was something that was a stronghold in my life. Reaching for things to absolutely take themselves out physically and mentally from the life experience because of the sheer pain that it is. In addition to those experiences of mental illness with anxiety and depression and other types of things that literally make it impossible to experience life and enjoy it. And all of these things, despite the many, many blessings that I had in my life, between the chronic illness, the pain, the fear, the sadness, the unworthiness, despite all of the blessings that I had by way of a home, beautiful family, beautiful children, love of a husband, love of friends and family, I reached a point in my life where I could not go on living. And there was no amount of joy or outside reassurance from anyone that could give me a justifiable reason. And there were multiple points in my life where the only way I saw was out. And it was my own experiences with illness that brought me back. The realization that no doctor outside of me was finding an answer, that I was just being continued to be numbed with more medications, and I was falling deeper and deeper and deeper into a helpless spiral of disempowerment, depression, and hopelessness and helplessness. And I can't remember off the top of my head. I have to look it up because I will bring it up in future episodes. The Japanese art of when like a vase is broken and they piece it back together with beautiful gold paint. And this is where many of us find ourselves in this experience, where we need to be broken. And this is that idea, because this podcast is going to be a lot too, and everything that I reach about, you know, dispelling some of these beliefs, oh, I'm beautifully broken. This is not this idea that you are these fractal pieces of defectiveness. But sometimes we literally need to be shattered so that we can be rebuilt and pieced together with that gold light of brilliance that we are meant to be. And that was certainly the case for me. So talking about the first of the five things, the most important thing here being that of self-awareness. Okay. And I'm going to start all of this by saying, disclaimer, the terms that I'm going to bring out are very kitschy. They have a lot of, they're like catchphrases these days. Okay. But I'm going to take these things to another level. So before you hear self-awareness and you go, oh man, here she goes, we're going to go on one of those, just stay with me. And when I'm talking about self-awareness, I'm not just talking about, do I really know who I am? Do I know how to be authentic? Do I know how to speak my truth? This is not what we're going on about, although those things are important. This was the understanding, fully knowing who I was. And I'm talking about literally having awareness of my intuitive abilities. The fact that I was an empath. I did not know that for the first 40 freaking years of my life. I walked around unaware of this. There were hints and there were things that I thought I knew, but it was a lot of just confusion. I didn't understand why I was just this emotional sponge that was taking everything. I thought I was just too damn sensitive, that there was something wrong with me. And it was in coming into this place of fully understanding and being fully aware of that this was a gift. These were a way of being that was in no way defective. In addition to that, the basic understanding of what my needs were. We're talking how much rest I need to feel adequately rested without being cranky or foggy headed or for my body to ache. You know, everybody says, oh, you need an average of 8 hours of sleep a day. You know what? For some people, that's too much. That makes them overtired. For some people, that is not enough. I'm telling you, I need a minimum of 9 solid, good rested hours of sleep. If you want to talk to me and you want me working at optimum capacity every day. Okay? For many of our kids and I myself, these ungodly hours that we start school, for some of these kids, this is absolutely detrimental. They are not operating at maximum capacity of how it is that they can thrive. And this was the case for me. And going into a field of teaching, needing to be up and out of bed in the dark, getting ready to get my brain active to teach geometry and algebra at 7 freaking o'clock in the morning. That was going against my very nature of what I was physically, mentally, emotionally, or capable of. But I was holding myself to an expectation, well, other people can do it. And that's what you have to do. But that's not how I was created to be. That's not what I'm wired for. Foods. Leaning into this place of when I was sick, going in this direction of every diet that everybody tells you. And again, I am not suggesting that anybody go against the advice of a doctor or change from your plans, okay? Do not hear this and do that. Any changes you make, if you're currently pursuing something, consult your doctors, okay? But I went down the rabbit hole of every single diet. There were elimination diets, paleo diet, autoimmune diet, anti-inflammatory diet, the blood diet, the Ayurvedic diet. The only thing everybody agreed on was room temperature water, celery, and lettuce. And I was wasting away because I was so afraid of doing something wrong. And everybody had a different idea. Instead of listening to my body and saying, what do I need? For me, one of the most inflammatory foods that people say to avoid, oh, no tomatoes, don't eat tomatoes. My body needs tomatoes. It needs it. I don't know if it's the lycopene, whatever vitamins are in it, it thrives on it. I eat garlic like nobody's business. Oregano, because of the natural properties that it has for me. There are certain things that literally belong in my body and my blood that every book will tell you with autoimmune related diseases, do not eat. And I didn't know anything about myself, my body, my needs. And especially embracing an instant and understanding that part of me that in being energetically highly sensitive, those times of rest to recharge, to replenish. Which leads me to number 2. And once I came into this place of awareness is one thing. So self-awareness was the first step. Self-acceptance was a completely different story. I started to come into awareness and education and this idea of seed planting of, you know, highly sensitive people and empaths and intuitives. And I'm going, oh, okay. But also recognizing that these were kind of woo-woo ideas, not exactly culturally or societally embraced or accepted. And I was very afraid of the criticisms and comments and skepticism and, oh, that's just a bullshit excuse. And that's just things people say to justify their behaviors. And no. And I was worried about how I would look and how people would perceive me. And so I came into this place of shutting things down. This was a huge thing for me. And when I'm talking about shutting things down, I mean shutting and slamming, padlocking and steel vaulting the door on anything and everything that I felt would be unacceptable to and by everybody around me. So top of the list was suppressing anything in terms of my intuitive or empathic abilities, which I now realize was a massive source of inflammation in my body because it was just trapped electric energy, literally. The other parts of that being acceptance of my emotions, acceptance of my experiences, acceptance of my needs, my wants. Holy cow, pleasure, passion, happiness, prosperity of any kind. Well, I don't want to make anybody feel bad. So-and-so doesn't have this, or so-and-so has this going on in their life. So where do I get off wanting this or having this? Nope, can't accept that. I couldn't accept any love. I couldn't accept or receive. I had thought all the time, well, nobody likes me. I'm just not wanted. The truth was, even those people who did want me, I couldn't accept myself enough to believe that there were people who liked me. This idea, this story in our heads, oh, people don't like me. That's yours. Sorry to tell you this. You have no idea what a wake-up call that was for me when I realized this is your bullshit story. Now, does everybody love me? Am I everybody's flavor of ice cream? No, I'm not. That's okay. But does that mean nobody liked me? No. But the truth was, I couldn't understand why anybody would like me. Because I didn't accept myself. So why should anybody else? So you start to, as I did, create these experiences to give your head brain candy to feed those stories and to give evidence why that's true. Well, they don't like me because of this. They don't like me because of that. Oh, well, clearly they don't. Look at the way they treat me. Oh, all they ever do is this. No one ever does that. It's bullshit. And this isn't to say that there aren't people who do not treat you appropriately or disrespect you. Yes, those people are out there. But I'm talking about the people close in your life that you just can't open yourself up to. And I couldn't accept that. I couldn't open myself to genuine unconditional love with no terms and conditions, where people loved me not for what I did for them or how I worked for them, but because they just saw me for who I was. They liked it. They wanted to be around me. And they loved me without rules. And once I was able to open up to that, to receive help, to allow people to love me the way that felt good, I had no idea that in not allowing that, I was shutting down the way other people loved. I had no idea that the very pain and sadness that I wanted to save everybody from, I was playing a part in by saying, no, don't you dare open your heart to me. And they're going, but I want to. And I'm going, no, I can't let you do that. People don't understand that that's your own rejection of yourself. They think it's them. And that was incredibly eye-opening for me. So I'm going to go on to the next one, and that being that of self-love and self-compassion. And we hear this so much. You gotta love yourself before you love everybody else. And we're not just talking about bubble baths and taking a yoga class and all that other stuff. We're talking about literally how I would talk to myself, how I would look at myself, the absolute self-loathing, self-hatred the standards that I would impose on myself, the level of perfectionism, the absolute intolerance and unforgiveness that I would have of myself for any mistake or inadequacy or less than-ness, not enoughness that I believed I was every freaking minute of the day. And I would beat myself up and I would shame myself. I would torture myself. I would punish myself. Everything from pushing myself too hard and overworking to burn out my body, my mind, my spirit. Looking at everything outside of myself, you know, making excuses for things that I couldn't do so I could reinforce evidence of the failure that I was, when in actuality, I wasn't taking action to make anything friggin' happen. I wasn't a failure. I wasn't trying. But as long as I could just be tired and be sick, that would take me out of things, and wouldn't that just make it easy for me? I did not know this at the time, but it's something that I can see now. I recognize how I would carry these things over to my own children and the intolerance that I would have towards other people, thinking that it was everybody else. But it wasn't. And the frustration and the rage and the anger that I would have about everybody else and how they weren't being and how they weren't living and if they could just and if they wouldn't and if they this had everything to do with the expectations that I had of myself. No one was ever going to meet my needs. No one was ever going to reach my expectations because I was never going to meet my own. No matter what I accomplished, I'd move that goalpost a little bit further every friggin' time. And I walked around with this victim mindset that I was never enough. Nothing I did was ever good enough. This had nothing to do with people outside of me. Again, are there those people that are constantly seeking fulfillment in their lives by making you more and more and more? Yes. But in this case, in this position, where you find yourself constantly moving in a direction where you feel like life is just hard, you got to look at these things. And there was no way that I could get out of bed and go, yay, let's spend another day being me. When I was hating myself and beating myself up and criticizing and literally annihilating myself every minute of the day. To the point that even when I made a mistake or I did something wrong and another person forgave me, it was like, I appreciate that, but nothing you're saying matters. And I wouldn't even trust that forgiveness of that person because I was not willing to let myself off the hook. Everybody else could make a mistake, but not me. And that tied in again with the belief that I deserve perpetual punishment. It was just more logs on that fire that just kept feeding that for me. And all of these things intertwine, of course, tying in with what would be the fourth one here. And that was my self-esteem, my self-confidence. This awareness that I mattered, that I had worth, that I had value, that I had significance, that I had gifts and talents and confidence in what I was capable of. The belief in my own power and abilities to do good, not just in my own life, but in the lives of others and actually contribute value, something of good to this world. My own self-resiliency, that I could overcome challenges to persevere. And everything that keeps us out of a victim mentality of believing that everything outside of us is in control. I literally gave myself away. I gave myself away to everybody and everything because you know why? That's easier. And that was a huge realization for me. The The fifth one being, and to recap, so we were talking about self-awareness, self-acceptance, self-love and self-compassion, self-esteem and self-confidence, all tying in to self-worth, being the fifth one. And they're all interrelated. And it is only now, at this point in my life, as you know from the last episode, I literally just celebrated my 41st birthday. And this was the first year that I received all of the happy birthday wishes. And I received messages, including, I am so grateful you were born. Happy born day. My children saying, Mommy, I'm so happy you were born. And what's more beautiful than knowing that I celebrated my birthday this year, receiving such beautiful and generous extensions of love and kindness, is that not only did I feel every single one of them, I believe them. And for the first time in my entire life, I am happy I was born. I am grateful I am alive. I am so proud to be here. I am honored to be speaking to you. And I want to make myself more present in this world and in your life without apology. I no longer wake up with tears in the corner of my eye, dreading another day of what this life is going to be like. And instead, I wake up excited, eager, grateful. And not just because I'm implementing some kind of spiritual practice where people tell you to start your day with gratitude. I literally wake up and I naturally embody gratitude. I roll over, I look at my husband, and I go, oh, thank you, God. I look at my children, and I hug them, and I kiss them, and I visit my family, and I see it. I see what I have without shame. I open my heart to love, to celebration, to and from other people. One of my dearest friends, who is going to be one of the first interviews on this podcast, my dear friend, Michelle Caramonte, gave me a birthday gift. And she pointed out to me, I was so amazed because you received it. You received it without, you know, telling me, oh, you shouldn't have done that. Why did you do that? You know, going down that thing of, you know, no, don't give me anything. She's like, you just received it. You received it graciously, and you allowed me to love you and celebrate you the way I know I want to, and that feels so good for me. And I'm so grateful for that. I am opening my heart and my life to receive the gifts that we are all meant to receive. To all of my soul brothers and sisters that are listening to this right now, this is what coming back to life is all about. These are the true accounts of those people who have stepped into a way of living that we are truly meant for, who are seeing their lives outside of the day-to-day mundane tenacity of just schedules and to-do lists and tasks and the roles we play and the hats we wear and how much we can get done and how we can prove how accomplished and significant we are by a point system or a grade or a tally or a bank account or any of that. And those stories of awakening and realization of who we are in this life, the roles that we play, how we can come out and live them fully, and people who are doing that, and how we are all capable of it. That whatever that dream is, that business you want to start, that difference you want to make in the lives of children, or the sick, or elderly, or politics, the change you talk about that you want to be a part of, you can do it. But there's stuff within yourself that's telling you why you can't or shouldn't. The voices inside of you saying, hide, play small, that's a problem, that's bad, don't do that, don't go there, don't be there. We only have one chance. But every single moment in our lives creates a new opportunity. Even those things that hurt, the divorces, the illness, the accidents, the job loss, those are shoulder shakes. When we ignore the taps, we get the frying pans upside the head. I had them multiple times. But that's the reminder that we are loved and we are not alone and we're not forgotten, because if we weren't loved and if we were forgotten, God, divine creator, the universe, whatever it is that you believe in, they'd give up on us. When you feel like the shit keeps hitting the fan, why does this stuff keep happening to me? It's because you're not listening and because you're being loved harder. This is the very creator who made you going, honey, my friend, great sir, you are not living the life I created you to live. And I'm going to keep breaking you and putting you back together piece by piece with that golden paint until you light up. And I got an endless supply of hammers. That's what this is. And I truly hope that my story, my experiences, can help you see those patterns, those things within yourself. And I invite you to reach out. You can email me at info@deborahokeefe.com. You can message me right here on this podcast. Leave me a voice message. Hit me up on Facebook. Talk to me. Reach out. You are not alone. And this podcast is literally an opening to you to share with you that support system, that inspiration, and that awareness that you are not alone, and what it is that you are capable of and what is possible for you. I want to thank you so much for being a part of this journey and this experience. And the first story share episode in the new chapter of the Coming Back to Life podcast. We're going to have our first guest on the new episode. You are not going to want to miss this. So feel free, please join us. Check me out. And details are in the link for this episode as well as on social media. I want to invite you, please write in, share your reactions and responses either through social media or through this podcast. And as always, I want to wish you endless light, love, happiness, and everything it is that you desire to live your best life. This is Debbie O'Keefe wishing you a fantastic rest of your day and your week. I love you all. Thank you so much for your support. Please be sure to share this so we can get these messages out in the world and to all those that you think would benefit from it.